9:17 on a Friday, which means it's the roundtable. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. This week's guest is Rob Brenton, co-host and producer of The Drive. Mr. Brenton, how are you on this lovely Friday?
I'm doing very well. Very excited to be
here. It's Saturday.
I know. A lot of people think it's Saturday. Right. There's a certain sect of people that would tell you it's a Saturday morning.
That's right. Man,
Saturday. Getting up.
That's right.
Having a cup of coffee.
Feels like tropic temperatures outside.
Beautiful out there today in the 40s.
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, 4:30 in the morning. I was like, man, it's kind of nice out here. It's not freezing.
Right.
I came in with the sun out. Oh,
wait till tomorrow.
It's like Jamaica all over again.
Yeah. Wait till tomorrow about 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Go outside and you'll freeze.
Well, the high for tomorrow is going to be 33. That's at midnight.
Okay. And then it's just
because I looked and I'm like, 33. Wonder when it's going to hit 33. Midnight. And then it's just a progressive down.
Right when the clock turns over.
That's right. That's the high is right at midnight tonight.
Well, at least it's going to be windy, too. So that makes it feel even better.
Yeah. It's always windy at Arrowhead, though. Mm-hmm. Between the two stadiums is the ultimate wind tunnel. No matter what time of year it is a wind tunnel through those two stadiums.
They should have put a cover over,
they
sliding cover.
They thought about it, one point. Yeah.
That didn't go well.
Maybe the next stadium will have something like that. But
yeah.
Well,
a guy can dream.
Yeah. Right.
Divisional round coverage brought to you also by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, how do you, when you see this game, CJ Stroud, really a lot of legacy stuff on the line. Obviously, we'll talk about Baltimore and Buffalo in that game, but CJ Stroud coming to Arrowhead in the playoffs is a little bit different. I told Mitch Holt this earlier. It's week 16 was kind of like an appetizer. Like you go to a place, you just did restaurant week, right? You get your appetizer. It's good. It doesn't define the menu. Week 16 was a taste, right? Hollywood Brown played. All the guys played except, Chris Jones was out, or maybe, I don't know. But that was like a little bit of it. That doesn't give you the full menu of what Arrowhead can be. And you get, a 3:30 start, a lot of juices flowing in fans who've had time to rest, have been time to get ready. This is a different vibe that'll have CJ Stroud looking at a different sort of angle from this Chiefs team in this situation this Saturday at 3:30.
So first and foremost, I'm not a big CJ Stroud believer. Not yet. I need a larger sample size. I know some people are talking this week like, this is probably the best young quarterback in the NFL coming to Kansas City. I don't feel that way. I feel about this game with CJ Stroud kind of the way I felt about, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Remember when the Jags came to town for the divisional round and Trevor Lawrence was, hey, watch out, Trevor Lawrence is next. And the Chiefs, the biggest thing from that game is Mahomes got hurt, but the Chiefs took care of business. And since then, Trevor Lawrence has kind of vanished out of existence.
He has not been the same.
He has not been the same. CJ Stroud has had two good seasons and two good playoff games. He also had a terrible playoff game against the Ravens last year. So he has been anointed next. I'm not one of those people. So with this game, I'm curious if CJ Stroud can play well. I don't think they're going to win, but if he plays well, it might turn some people into more believers with the Texans for the future. So this game, you're right. It's very much legacy for CJ Stroud. Maybe that's a big term for a third year, going to be a third year guy, but you can, change the narrative around you from, hey, you're just winning the AFC South.
Right.
Super duper. Like, neato. I saw Brian Hoyer do that. Like, who cares? Anyone can do it. So he has a chance to actually be viewed as next up. That's what's interesting to me. If this game's 27-21 and he's slinging the ball over the yard, okay. Maybe we talk next offseason about the Texans are now one of those teams, but this is, 31-17 or 28-14 and he looks average like he did in the first half against the Chargers, it just feels like the Chiefs bumped into an inferior opponent with a quarterback that just happens to be in a bad division.
Yeah, well, you said that you don't think this game is going to be interesting, or you think it's going to be, Chiefs win.
Ho-hum Chiefs win.
Right, type of game.
Kind of like Christmas Day. Christmas Day was, it was fun because the Chiefs won, but you never were sitting at home unwrapping gifts watching that game being like, this is actually like a chew on your fingernail football.
It was never a game.
Correct.
It was a fun game to watch from
enjoyable,
a fan perspective, but it was never a quote-unquote game. You don't think it's going to be a game, but Emmanuel Acha, who still has a job today, thinks it will be.
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
I don't know what that means. Advantage Texans because you already got used to Mahomes.
I have no idea what that means. I mean,
he might have been up late.
I mean, they played one game against the Texans this year. There are teams in the playoffs and in, football. If you told me, hey, they've gotten used to Mahomes, the Bills keep losing, but I don't think there's a fear of Mahomes. I think they're okay, you know, it's mano-a-mano. The Ravens kind of feel the same way. Like, they know that guy's better than their guy, but there's not a mystique or a aura or however Samuel Ocho said it. You know, there's not like they know Mahomes.
They're used to Mahomes.
Maybe that's
based
that's,
on what?
That's not the Texans. The Texans are absolutely not the team that has any, hey, we're used to Mahomes. You've played him once since CJ Stroud took over.
Right.
And you lost. And it was kind of a ho-hum game. Like, after Tank Dell got hurt, it was exactly what I talked about the Steelers game. Kind of stopped being a game. The Chiefs kind of just asserted their dominance. Game over. To say the Texans are used to Mahomes, I don't agree with. Like, I don't think the Broncos obviously lost, but according to Sean Payton, shoulda, woulda, coulda, if they right. played this weekend, they would have been a real problem. But if you would tell me a division opponent is used to Mahomes, okay, you play him twice a year.
Right, but the division is like 1-5 or 0-6 every year.
The idea the Texans, who have played the Chiefs one time in this era, are used to Patrick Mahomes is nonsensical to me.
Emmanuel Acho, to me, is horrible at takes. I mean, like, he has the worst takes I've ever heard.
Which is crazy, because that show has a lot of bad takes. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Paul Pierce, you know, Rock Chalk, I don't think Paul Pierce is a very good job.
No.
Somehow Shady McCoy, who was a villain when he left Kansas City because he talked bad about Andy Reid, is like the voice of reason on that show. I guess Chase Daniels also. That show has a lot of problems.
That show sucks.
And we're not even going to discuss one of the people on that show is very prominently featured in a lawsuit against the company. So, right. that show's one that, let's just switch the channel.
Yeah, know your role, right? Like, know what you're getting yourself into. So, confident in the game, you take the 8.5, or you just stay away from it?
I would take the 8.5, and I wanted to pull this stat up. So, here's Kansas City's margin of victory, their first four playoff openers under Patrick Mahomes, in games where he didn't get hurt. Because, like, the Jags game I mentioned earlier, he got hurt. Chad Henne played multiple drives. It's different. Mm-hmm. So in 2018, the Chiefs beat the Colts 31-13. In 2019, the Chiefs beat the Texans 51-31. In 2021, the wild card round, the Chiefs beat the Steelers 42-21. And in the frigid cold, where it was under 0 degrees out, they beat the Dolphins 26-7. When Patrick Mahomes is in a playoff opener and he has rest, they are going to score and they are going to put it on you. Because Andy Reid, I don't have the bye week stat in front of me, but when he gets a bye week, he throttles people. And that's what you see in the postseason. He throttles people. And usually, those are inferior opponents, and they're at Arrowhead. So it's a lesser team that Andy Reid got extra time to prep for, and Patrick Mahomes is playing. They usually throttle teams in the opener. So, I think they cover the 8.5. This feels like 34-17, 31-17, something like that. Where
21-4 after a bye week.
Yeah, just insane numbers. So I think you have to take the Chiefs, and I would take the points, but I could maybe see a backdoor by the way for the Texans,
right.
But it's not a touchdown that actually puts the game in peril.
Right. No, it's like the touchdown that the Raiders scored first game in Vegas, you know?
The one where Minshew, only thing that killed that was people who had the 10.5.
That's right.
I know that because I was one of those people.
right. That killed it, but they blew the Raiders out in that game. It ends up being 27-22. They won by 2 touchdowns in that game. So I see what you're saying, a last minute late touchdown that really doesn't
mean anything.
Their
2-minute drive with no timeouts. Yeah. They score, onside kick goes Chiefs way. Everyone celebrates, fireworks go off at Arrowhead type of deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who do you think from a non-Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones standpoint, even Trent McDuffie at this point, whose legacy can grow the most in this run to the postseason, run to the three-peat?
I think it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
Now, I think that's because of everything he's accomplished outside of Kansas City. Like,
sure.
You look at his stats and his, like, you know, Pro Football Reference page, it has all his accolades and awards. Mm-hmm. He's like a fringe Hall of Fame guy right now. I don't know he's in. There's still, you know, time left for him to add stats, but he's trending toward Hall of Fame. If you put a Super Bowl on the resume, that changes the resume a little bit. If you have a great playoff performance and people remember you as being great in the playoffs, that changes things a little bit. Yep. So DeAndre Hopkins is, when healthy, still one of the better receivers in the NFL. I think from both his legacy standpoint and his paycheck standpoint, if he's good in this postseason, he's probably not getting the Hollywood Brown 1-for-9 in the offseason. He's probably getting a nice paycheck one more time, and he's now trending toward Canton. So it's not one of the foundational pillar guys of the Chiefs that they drafted, and it's like, one of the guys we've watched throughout this three-peat, but DeAndre Hopkins can give himself a gold jacket if he's really good in this postseason.
Who has a bigger contract this offseason, DeAndre Hopkins or Sam Darnold?
It's positional Sam Darnold.
Oh, really?
Quarterback in the NFL is a broken model.
Even after the last 8 quarters.
I mean, if you're telling me ever since Mr. Nasty Man, Deshaun Watson, ruined the contracts for everyone, everyone gets those giant guarantee numbers, you're seeing Trevor Lawrence get $20 plus million a year to go out and be mediocre. You're telling me Sam Bradford can't? Not Sam Bradford. Sam Darnold.
Bradford got money too.
Yeah, he got money.
He's the last of the bonus paying system.
He was the last of a bad system. But you're telling me Sam Darnold can't get the Trevor Lawrence contract somewhere?
What did Baker get? $30 million a year?
Yeah, it's something like that. So, and you massage and manipulate it. But yeah,
Sean massages.
Yeah, not different massage. If Baker and Trevor Lawrence are getting that number, Sam Darnold's getting that number, which is just outlandish, but it's a different conversation.
So I want to bring this up to you because there's, you know, obviously bets and props that you can have in this game. And I saw this stat from Peter Schrager. Pretty solid, actually, for a guy that plays for the Chiefs. There are four players that have had at least seven game or more streak in the playoffs of 75 yards or more from scrimmage. So 75 yards or more from scrimmage. Those players are Franco Harris, Terrell Davis, Emmitt Smith, Isaiah Pacheco.
Wow. I would have not.
Isn't that wild?
I thought you were setting up to talk about Travis Kelce with that stat. I did not think that was going to be Isaiah Pacheco.
Franco Harris, nine games in a row, had 75 yards or
more.
And
these are postseason games?
Yeah. Terrell Davis, 8. Emmitt Smith, 8. Pacheco, 7. Is this the Pacheco game, or is this the Kareem Hunt game, or is it just yes?
So that stat, it's like still blowing my mind. I think going into the playoffs, if I were Andy Reid, I would have Isaiah Pacheco as, you know, running back number one. I still think it's going to be by committee, and they're going to split carries. Mm-hmm. But if you were like, hey, who should get the heavy workload? Even before that stat, I would have said Pacheco, because Kareem Hunt is great at turning 1st and 10 into 2nd and 6. Mitch Holtis says it all the time. Like, you're going to take 4 yards, and now the whole playbook's open. You can do run. You can pass. Like, the whole playbook's open. But Pacheco can take a 1st and 10 and turn it into an 18-yard run, where I don't know that Kareem Hunt has that juice and giddy-up still in his body. Now, he's had also 2 weeks of rest, so maybe he's at full go.
And he's only going to get about 50% of the carries, mentioned. Like, I love that we're going in with Pacheco and Kareem Hunt healthy and splitting the carries. It's going to be awesome.
I think splitting's going to happen, but if you ask me, like, who gets the bigger workload and who's more likely to have a big game, I think it's Pacheco, because he's more likely to rattle off, you know, a longer chunk. You know, I could see Kareem Hunt getting, you know, 12 carries for 56 yards, but his longest carry is 8 yards. Pacheco has a chance to rip one off. What was it? The Raiders game this year on Black Friday. He had that little draw play that went for 30 yards. Like that kind of thing opens up a lot of the offense. So I think Pacheco, and that stat only furthers my argument, because goodness gracious, Franco Harris, Emmitt Smith, Terrell Davis, I would have never thought Isaiah Pacheco was in that.
Hall of Famers, right?
If he has 75 yards from scrimmage, he ties Davis and Emmitt Smith in the playoffs for consecutive 75
yards.
Also,
Pacheco's been on the team for now 7 straight postseason games. Mm-hmm. It feels like he just got here.
And Trent McDuffie.
The tweet says it's January Isaiah Pacheco time, from Peter Schrager. Says, never has lost a playoff game, 2 Super Bowl starts in his first 2 seasons, 2 Super Bowl wins, 23 days off, healthy, ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense now, because like the first year he was here, they had the bye. So there's 3 games for them in the Super Bowl. And last year they had to play in the first round. There's 4 games in the Super Bowl. Like,
7.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's the craziest part. He's at 7 already.
And some people will never get to 7 in their careers. Mm-hmm. And this guy's in his first 2 years.
We mentioned DeAndre. 8. Is DeAndre Hopkins at 7?
Probably not.
I mean, that's a guy who's, I mentioned earlier, fringe Canton. He might not be at 7 in his career.
You may be right about that.
He had 1 in Arizona, 2 or 3, maybe 4. And
because he was always on teams that got knocked early.
Yeah, they were either 1 and done, or they got the first one, congrats, and then you go lose in the second round.
So right.
I could see him having less than Pacheco already.
Yeah. So the left tackle has been, for whatever reason, a topic this week, and it's driving me crazy. But I get the feeling, and Mitch mentioned it with us as well, we're going to see all kinds of weird stuff over there on the left side of that line. I'm a big, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of guy. I didn't think it was broken.
So first off, we disagree a little bit. I'd understand why left tackle is the biggest conversation, because I think the Chiefs are going to win this game easily. The only path I can see in my head for how the Texans win is they muddy up the game and make it ugly, and make it like a 19-17, like that Black Friday game. I know the Chiefs won, but that kind of game.
Yeah, that game sucked.
Yeah, it was uninteresting to watch.
Yes.
The one thing about that game that stands out is, I don't remember which Raider pass rusher it was. It wasn't Crosby. It was the other dude.
Stills?
Just kept, whatever.
Nash?
Exactly. He just kept cooking Wanya Morris. If DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney, whoever's out there, is getting absolutely cooked by this Texans pass rush, suddenly that confidence I have disappears. That they have to muddy up the game. So I get why left tackle's a big conversation, but me and you see it the same way. We use different analogies. I used dance with who brought you.
Yeah.
Joe Tooney got you into the postseason. I know that on December whatever, you signed DJ Humphries, and the plan was great on paper pre-Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he's played three quarters of football and has been hurt for multiple games, and he's just now practicing.
That's the say it out loud test, yeah, right there.
I don't love the rest versus rust argument thing, but if there's one guy who definitely trends rust, it's the guy who's played three quarters of football in a calendar year.
And that's where I am on that, Rob. You and I are exactly the same on that. It's not like he played a little bit mm-hmm. this year, got hurt, missed a few games, came back. This guy's not played in a year.
Correct. He came back and played. He came back from an injury. That's why he was a free agent and played. Did not complete a game before getting hurt again. Now, I know right. the injuries were different, but yeah, I think he's a great break glass in case of emergency. If you think he's healthy in practice and Tooney is doing poorly, he's there as an option. But Joe Tooney has solidified the offensive line. I know that Tooney at left guard is better than Caliendo at left guard, but left guard's not a premium position on the field. No offense to the left guards out there. Sorry, Brian Waters, if you're listening somewhere. But Caliendo's fine, and Tooney was the reason you're in the playoffs, and that after that Bills game, it came to a head and they fixed it. I'm a big Team Joe Tooney guy.
So you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins in the playoffs versus Isaiah Pacheco. DeAndre Hopkins has played in six games in the playoffs.
So he'll be at his seventh this week.
So he has a total of 446 yards in the playoffs receiving, doesn't run the ball. Isaiah Pacheco has a total of 635 yards in seven games. So doing well. Mm-hmm. Bob mentioned something earlier today. It's kind of funny if you want it foreshadowing, right? And mm-hmm. I know you've got a take that'll come out later and maybe time, but like there was a graphic and it was Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Trent McDuffie.
Mm-hmm.
Trent McDuffie's getting the bag this offseason.
I hope the Chiefs do it. We last week, you know, kind of took big picture Chiefs stuff because wild card weekend's boring. So we had a cap expert on, take that for what it's worth. He pointed out there's a lot of good corners who are about to get paid. And if the Chiefs want to pay Trent McDuffie, which I'm a proponent of paying Trent McDuffie.
They wanted to pay him last offseason.
Get it done first. Like, Derek Stingley plays for the Texans. The Chiefs will see him this weekend. He's also a very good corner. He had the pick last weekend, Justin Herbert. He's a good corner. You know what you want to do? You want to get Trent McDuffie paid before that guy gets paid.
Yeah.
Because if that guy sets the market and then Sauce Gardner resets the market, suddenly you're paying Trent McDuffie, who I think is better than both of those guys, an extra premium. You're paying a you-got-it-done-last tax. Mm-hmm. I want Trent McDuffie paid this offseason. That would be, I mean, there's a lot of things to get done this offseason. Like, I think this will be one of the more interesting offseasons in Brett Veach tenure in Kansas City because so many guys are coming off the books that are so important to the team. I think even in the pantheon of all the things this offseason, number one with a bullet is get Trent McDuffie locked up. Get ahead of it. You're going to have to pay $20, $21 million. Don't end up paying $26, $27 because you waited and then had to pay a premium.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. They wanted to sign Trent McDuffie for about a year now and get that deal done. If you're Trent McDuffie, you're kind of like, let me bet on myself.
Trent McDuffie would wait. I get that.
Or you could be like Pete Alonso and not take a huge deal and bet on yourself and now have nothing basically Correct. To go back to. So there always is that. But I use the term in love with Trent McDuffie. Like, he is the next guy, the next wave, the next leader, the next pillar of this franchise. It wasn't an accident that he was included in that graphic. Everything that they do at Arrowhead is done with a reason, with a purpose, to send a message, and to have Trent in that opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, they now do view him as one of those guys. Stop telling me about Sauce Gardner, though. Like,
he was bad this year.
Yeah,
but you know what New York does? They give bad contracts to bad players,
right?
Look at their quarterback. They love to overpay for mediocrity. So even though Trent McDuffie is better than Sauce Gardner, and I, you're right, Sauce Gardner is bad this year, you're telling me the clown show in New York ain't going to overpay for Sauce Gardner and ruin the whole thing for everyone? So you're right.
But
he's not great, but he's going to get paid like he's great.
I wonder, like, if the new coach is going to make a difference with him, because he was so good, and that defense was so good. And then they got rid of Robert Saleh, who was also kind of their defensive de facto coordinator, and then it all went downhill from there. I wonder what's going to happen once they get a new, if they're going to be back to where they were. But again, the wear and tear on everybody now has been 3 years, you know? So you never get your youth back. Ask me.
Disappears quickly.
Fast. Like, overnight. So, the Sauce Gardner won like a year ago. Hell yeah. This past season, he like quit on his team basically.
Oh, yeah. I do agree with you, though, that Trent McDuffie's part of the new guard of the Chiefs.
Who else is part of that?
I think Karloftis is. He's had a little bit of a regression this year, but he's still one of those guys.
But look how much better he's been since Omenihu's been
correct.
Back.
I think Rashee Rice is going to be one of those guys. It's just he lost this season because of injury, and I think he's going to get suspended to start next season. But I think
suspension should count for this year, though. They should just
you know how the NFL is. They'll be like, you didn't play. But I think he'll be part of that new guard. I think those are the two off the top of my head that I'm like, oh yeah, that's part of the next wave. They'll probably, maybe Pacheco, I could see being part of that wave, but I think fast forward 3-4 years, the Chiefs will have a graphic for a postseason game. It'll still have Mahomes, but it will have McDuffie, Karloftis, and maybe a draft pick by this point.
Could
because
be.
I don't think in 3-4 years you're going to go to a game at Arrowhead or wherever it is in 2028, 2029 and see Travis Kelce. So someone else is going to have to be on that graphic.
Yeah, you left out a key name in that conversation, and I know why you did because I would have left the name out as well. That's Trey Smith because I don't know that he's definitely.
I don't know he's back.
I think he's a first-round pick that got picked in the sixth round. He's got that money to make up for. He's going to get a bag this offseason.
And I just talked about corner. You want to be ahead of the market. Do you know what happened last offseason? Guards that no one's ever heard of because who watches, like, no one watches guard play in the NFL. I'm sure the Texans will tell you, I really lock in to watch the guard. Liar.
Liar.
But no one watches guard play that in the NFL. Dudes that you barely know the name of are getting $20 million last offseason. I think Robert Hunt by the Panthers got 21. The guy for the Eagles, the tush push guy, Landon Dickerson's getting in the 20s. Trey Smith has not made his value in money. He's about to get $20 million. The Chiefs can't really pay that number and have to have a left tackle next season. So I'd love Trey Smith on the thing, on the graphic. I don't think Trey Smith's
just
on the graphic.
Go back and look at the draft. Veach will always tell you that way. Last one here, I want to bring this up. Buffalo's a home dog. I love home dogs in the playoffs, right? Houston was a home dog. They shattered. You look at what this
Lamar's
game is.
Lamar's playoff history, too.
Right. And Josh Allen playing at home, 1.5 underdog. What's that game mean to you, and where do you steer when it comes to that line?
Gambling-wise, I would be with you. I'd ride with Josh Allen and the Bills. I think I've said this all week. The Ravens are the better team. Like, on paper, everything the Ravens do is better. Like, they are more dynamic offensively. I think their quarterback should probably win MVP, even though he's not going to get it in Lamar Jackson. Like, their defense has been stabilized. Like, everything on paper says Baltimore's the team. But, man, it's the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson's on the road. Give me Josh Allen in the build. I think you're going to get a 13 seconds rematch at Arrowhead next weekend. I know that was the divisional round, but yeah. I think it's Bills and Chiefs next weekend because I just don't trust Lamar yet.
I don't know who I want to win that game or who's going to win that game.
It kind of
back
feels
and
like
forth for a week now.
Really, I forget the year. All these Chiefs Super Bowl years are blending together. The absolute best problem to have. Remember when Joe Burrow and the Bengals played at the Bills that one year for the divisional round? I remember thinking, like, this is going to be a great football game. I don't know who I want to win or will win, but regardless, a good quarterback is coming to Kansas City next weekend. That's kind of how I feel about this Ravens and Bills game.
And that's going to be one hell of a game next weekend in Kansas City, regardless of who the opponent is.
Oh, yeah, that's
what do you guys got coming up on the drive?
We got Nate Taylor. Yeah. He's in on a...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Friday, and a reminder, today
Saturday.
Is a Friday. Yeah, so yeah. He'll be in from 4 to 5. Voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, will be on the show. And also,
Vandy.
Talking about that Bills-Ravens game, we'll do a little bit on that in the 3 o'clock hour as well.
You guys want to react to a quick quote real fast before I let you go?
Please.
Jay Gruden on BetMGM tonight. What? The Chiefs cannot pass protect. Their left tackle is atrocious.
Next Jay Gruden, man, remember when you were an AFL coach? That's basically what being on the BetMGM Tonight Show is. I mean, if Kingsley Suamataia was at left tackle, he's right, but not correct for anyone else.
I guess he just started watching the Chiefs yesterday. That's
that's
good.
Exactly
he popped in that Game 2 film, and he was like, goodness gracious, this
is
bad.
Oh, they can't pass protect. Let me have a hot take.
Went up against the sack leader in the NFL in Week 2. All right, Rob, we appreciate the time.